The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Second hour of the program. A lot of more interesting guests, including a running back from Ole Miss, will join us in the next hour. Let's check in with Mike next in Fort Worth. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul, I want to get your opinion on LSU. They lost Joe Burrow, and they lost another couple defensive player, number 9. He went to TCU. Matter of fact, TCU, they took a couple players from the SEC, a running back, like the number one running back in the country. So
They also lost Allaire to the NFL. I mean, they lost their best, and Jamar Chase has opted out. I mean, they pretty much lost three of their top four or five offensive players, including the including Joe Brady. They lost a defensive coordinator. They've lost so many other players. I am not of the opinion that they can repeat. I really don't think they can. I think they can have a good year, but I mean, nobody's ever going to replicate what they did last year.
I don't think they're. I think they're a top 10 team, but they're not in the top five. It's going to be Georgia and Alabama. I will make a prediction about the Big 12. I know you don't really cover it. I think, believe it or not, TCU is going to win the Big 12. They're going to beat Oklahoma and win the Big 12. And I'm predicting that they'll be in the college football playoff. And the reason being, that running back, I forgot his name. And then they got a couple players, that defensive player from LSU, number 9. And they got another guy from Oklahoma, same kind of pass rusher. He's a linebacker. So, I think LSU, they're not. It's going to be Georgia, and there's no home field advantage this year either.
Well, we don't think there is. That's why I want to see what happens Saturday afternoon at Tiger Stadium. Dan is next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks as always. Paul, could I get you to do me a favor before the season starts?
Sure, Dan.
Will you play Call Paul without the music?
You like the a cappella version?
Yes, please.
Okay, we'll see.
I was going to ask you. This season, Notre Dame has opted out. Does that mean they forfeit the game?
No, it doesn't mean anything. It means that they postpone the game. They could possibly make it up the next week. They both have open dates.
Okay, so it's not like forfeiting the game. So what if some of them have to opt out of three or four games and the other conference don't have to opt out but about two? Are they going to punish?
Well, it's definitely going to be a factor. I'm not sure what will happen then, but it could become a real issue in terms of choosing divisional leaders for the championship game. Jacob is up next. Hey, Jacob, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm just going to call and ask you about the Mississippi State-LSU game coming up this weekend. LSU lost a bunch of key pieces in Burrow, Clyde Blair. They lost Dale Pitt, Queen on defense. They're, I think, 16-point favorites over Mississippi State. I mean, Mississippi State's got Costello coming in, still got Colin Hill, still got nice few pieces around him. I mean, do you think Mississippi State can pull off the upset?
It's hard to believe it, but, you know, there's so much we don't know about Mississippi State. And I say this about, I mean, there's 7 games Saturday. I would say this about 3 or 4 of them. It's hard to imagine, but, you know, Mike Leach is a really sound football coach. He's got a nice quarterback. Still got a lot of key, really good players from last year's team, which underperformed. So
very true.
I would not think so right now, but I wouldn't. Also would not bet your life saving on it. Hey, thanks for the call. Jason is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Jason, thank you for the call.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? First time caller, love the show.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Hey, Paul, I just want to point out real quick, game of the week in the SEC, Kentucky down in Auburn. The only top 25 matchups we have this weekend in the SEC, and I think Kentucky's got a good shot. We got top 10 defense in the trenches and in the secondary in the country. We are returning probably our best offensive line in years against an offense, or you know, our defense against Auburn's completely rebuilt, depleted offensive line. I know Bo Nix has abilities, but I think our defense is just going to eat him up. Just wanted to get some thoughts from you.
Yeah, Jason, I can't wait for that game, and I've heard both versions of it so far. I'm still not ready to make a call. I think Auburn will win. I just think it could be a really close game, and I'm gonna make a vow to try to eliminate as many cliches as I can. But the week of the first games, it's hard to do that because there are so many unknowns. Once we get a look at the teams, we have a pretty good idea, or we think we do. Right now, we don't.
Absolutely, Paul. I agree, and I also think that this lack of attendance for all schools is definitely going to play a huge tribute to each game, road and home teams throughout the season.
Yeah,
but I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. And I think it's going to like an 11 o'clock game in Auburn. It's always a tough time of the day to play anyway. What's that stadium going to be like Saturday? I mean, I think that affects the home team a little bit. How much is the question? Let's check out Hardwood, who is on the air. Hello, Hardwood. You're on the air, and go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I ain't talked to you in about a year. I've been down a little bit. You remember who I am, don't you?
I do. How what's going on with you? Are you okay?
Nah, just old and feeble. I got a few little things going on, but I try to study and keep studying up on football. I think Alabama's gonna be top of the line this year, and they probably gonna win it all. And ain't all these people gonna come up and say, well, they didn't. Their other teams didn't have all the players they could have had, and this and that. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think you talk about Alabama every year in that regard. I think they happen to be better this year than they have been in at least 3 or 4 years. Hey, thanks for the call. Jack is in Texas, and you are next up. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller. I know it's an SEC show, but that polite gentleman from Fort Worth, Texas, came on just a minute ago and said that that TCU was going to win the Big 12. As the OU alum and huge fan, I beg to differ. Unless they are planning on infecting our team with COVID before that week, it's an OU Big 12.
Well, again, I mean, at this point, we're all speculating, and I don't know when I've ever wanted a season to start more than this year, so we can look at the games and make some determinations. But you can't argue with Oklahoma. They would be my pick to finish extremely high overall in the country and to win the Big 12. Thanks for the call. We are heading to a break. We're really looking forward to our next guest. He is Bruce Feldman, as knowledgeable as anyone in the press. He works for The Athletic. He also covers college football for Fox on television. He's part of their Big Noon show. He's got a new book out, and we will talk to him when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back, and so great to have you. Our next guest is one of the most knowledgeable people that cover college sports anywhere. He is Bruce Feldman, who writes for The Athletic. He also appears on the Fox Big Noon show. And his latest, a sequel to Meat Market. People have been waiting for this for years, entitled Flip the Script, Lessons Learned on the Road to a Championship. Bruce, it is a pleasure to welcome you back to the program. And anyone who read Meat Market loved it. It was Ed Orgeron on Red Bull times 10 when he was the Ole Miss coach, and he's now settled down as a national championship coach. And I know you've always believed in him, even when he was at Southern Cal, when he probably should have gotten the job. But back in those days when you drove around Mississippi and all parts unknown with him, doing that book, and it ended badly, did you ever dream you would be doing a sequel coming off of a national championship season?
Off a national championship season? No, I can't say I saw that then. I did think he was a better head coach potentially than what he did, than what the record showed. But I think what happened there, Paul, was it took spectacular failure in terms of the record on the field, some of the decisions, some of the way he managed things, for I think him to look inside and go, yeah, they could have given me more time. I could have had better resources. I didn't feel like I could trust, you know, my AD or this or that. But ultimately, I think, as he told me in this book, it wasn't like he ever aspired to take them to be 7-5. Like, he was looking at it was a kind of national championship or bust. And so because of there was such a spectacular flame out there, it forced him to make some really, really hard decisions when he looked at, examined himself as a coach. And I think, you know, you mentioned the USC part of it. He followed his friend Lane Kiffin, and he saw a lot of the mistakes Lane had made. So he not only learned from his mistakes, he also learned from Lane's mistakes. And what I think is fascinating with him is he has continued to evolve at a time where, you know, most people, football coaches are about as stubborn a people typically as you come across. And for him to keep evolving when he's well into his 50s to say, hey, I'm not only going to try to be a better coach, but I need to be a better man, a better father. And I think that really enabled him to really take some leaps. And honestly, he had to trust the people around him, which is something that he didn't do enough of or didn't feel like he could do enough of when he was in Oxford.
Bruce, you have spent a lot of time around him, and obviously he trusts you immensely, especially to collaborate on this project. But what do you see when you're around him that maybe others do not? Because he does have this facade that a lot of people, maybe not as much as they used to be, but were and have been very dismissive of.
I think the biggest thing is he comes across as a caricature to people. Right, you see the huge, booming, gravelly voice. You see this guy who looks like an old D lineman, you know, thick neck, and just not like. I don't think he's kind of is what he is, right? And so the thing that I realized relatively early on, but then it's continued to see, is he's a lot smarter than I think anybody outside really either A, gave him credit for, or B, realized. Because I remember I would talk to some of my friends who are in the media, and we talk about, you know, coaches and different things. And sometimes people get hung up about this guy is, you know, like some kind of X and O's guru or something, if it's a coordinator, and like this guy doesn't know football or whatever. And the reality is, if you're going to be a head coach, you're going to be a successful one, the X and O's is great. But the reality is you need to manage the team. You need to be able to connect with players, and you need to be able to find a way to get them to be at their best on Saturdays. And I think his ability to read people is better than anybody I've ever been around, and that includes any coach in terms of he's very confident in his ability to evaluate. It's not to say he always gets it right, but I think that part of it has enabled him to really thrive. And so you know, he can really recruit. A lot of times when he was in Ole Miss, he had really good players who were three-star guys who turned out to be a lot better. He wasn't getting the five-star guys back then. But here, I think what we've seen, he's made some really smart innovations. Not innovations as an X and O's guy, but innovations of how they practice, how they get ready for game day. And I think those are the things that people probably don't see unless you're kind of behind the scenes. And sometimes people, you know, maybe they're skeptical because his way is, you know what, just because it's been done a certain way before, I'm not doing it that way. You know, he's not one of these guys who's playing music at practice. He's not one of these guys who will go to, you know, have his team go to the stadium, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours beforehand. He's not one of these guys who has a bunch of full staff meetings. I mean, he has one a week, which is really rare. And I think what he's continued to kind of revise how he does it, and I think it helps now that he trusts a lot of the people around him, which is something he didn't really do before.
Chatting with Bruce Feldman, the book Flip the Script coming out here in a few weeks. Bruce, in terms of the current day SEC, we all know who the players are, and they're some of the biggest names in the industry, whether it's Dan Mullen to the east or Jimbo to the west or Kirby and Nick Saban and countless others. Where does he fit into this coaching hierarchy?
You know, Nick Saban's above and beyond everybody else. I mean, to me, he's the greatest coach that there has been in our sport. But after that, and it's not to take anything away, like Dan Mullen's a really good X and O's guy, and he's done a really good job in Starkville and now in Florida. Jimbo has a national title. But look at what Ed Orgeron has done on the field since he's been at LSU. You know, Kirby Smart has piled up recruiting class after recruiting class, and it's really impressive. And I think he's a top 10 coach. But it's hard for me to look at right now. Is Kirby Smart a better head coach than Ed Orgeron? Ed Orgeron's teams have played Kirby Smart's teams the last 2 years and beaten them by like an average of 3 touchdowns a game. And it's not like those were bad Georgia teams that didn't have a lot of top-flight recruits. So to me, it's a hard, you know, you can make a very strong case that Ed Orgeron after Nick Saban right now is the next best coach in the SEC. I mean, Jimbo has a national title, but at the end at Florida State, it started to really fall apart. And we'll see if he can get it going in College Station. But after that, I was like, I think you're looking at, you know, Dan Mullen, who, like I said, is a really, really good coach and is in the conversation. And then I think you're looking at Kirby. But right now, Kirby hasn't done what Orgeron's done. And I think the key here is Ed Orgeron was the one who went out and found Joe Brady. Nobody was talking about Joe Brady, you know, a year and a half ago. We'll see if Kirby can get the offensive piece right. You know, if Todd Monken is the guy, if he feels like he's, you know, able to do what he needs to do on that side of the ball. Because I think a lot of times that is a challenge for these defensive guys to sometimes give their staff the flexibility and the freedom to be at their best.
Talking to Bruce Feldman. Bruce, in terms of coaching, I want to ask you about one or two more, but, and then I want to get to a conference issue. But you've been around Mike Leach a lot. You did a book with him. He is now in the SEC playing Ed Orgeron on Saturday. Just your lay of the land view of Mike Leach now at Mississippi State.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Paul. I mean, obviously the air raid was in the SEC a long time ago when Leach was with Hal Mumme at Kentucky. It's a lot different now. I mean, back then you didn't see hardly any of it except for what those guys were doing. I think the challenge for Mike is going to be he's taking over in the middle of a pandemic where he didn't have hardly any off season. So he's got a new quarterback, KJ Costello, who's very talented, but they really haven't had much run-up to get their timing down. And so I think he inherits more talent than he certainly did when he got to Washington State. I mean, at Washington State, he had, I think, 3 or 4 walk-on linemen he was starting and cornerbacks that ran 4.8s and 4.9s, right? I mean, they were awful. This team has talent. I mean, Kylan Hill is one of the best players in the country. They have some speed on defense. But at the same time, now, I mean, he is in a meat grinder of a division, right? And so, you know, outside of Arkansas, I don't think there's any team that they can say, oh, yeah, they have clearly more talent than. So you know, is Mike's ceiling there, you know, for year one and year two? Can he get them to maybe fourth in the division? I mean, it's a tough ask. And it's, he went in, you know, he was already in a pretty tough division in the Pac-12 North, but now he's in a much tougher division. There was no Alabama or LSU in the Pac-12 North. There was Oregon and Washington. They're good, but they weren't great loaded teams. And I think the question is going to be, like, how well does Mike fit in, you know, with the culture there that he has inherited, and how can he recruit to keep up? And because when he faced teams that had, like, eye-popping talent relative to what he had, he would go up against Washington in the Apple Cup. And those UW defenses with the Vita Veas, and they just destroyed that offense. And now you're going to see, I'm not saying everybody has a Vita Vea in the SEC, but there's a lot closer to Vita Veas and that kind of talent in the SEC than what he was facing once, you know, every 2 months in the Pac-12.
Bruce, before you go, I know you reported on this Saturday on the Fox show, but it's Tuesday. What's going on with the Pac-12?
Oh, it's such a mess there, Paul. I mean, right now, the thing you look at is almost at every turn, you feel like Larry Scott and the leadership of the Pac-12 it can't get out of its own way. It's shooting itself in the foot. They're going to make an announcement on Thursday about what we expect will be they'll return to football. The question is going to be, when do they feel like they can go? From what I had heard on Friday when they met with their coaches, the bulk of the conversation was really geared towards a November 7th start. And the concern that I heard from a lot of coaches in the Pac-12 was, hey, this was not like, we didn't do the same things that the Big Ten did when they postponed. The Big Ten, a lot of schools almost like went into training camp mode. Most of our schools did not do that. A bunch of them couldn't do that because of local ordinances. So some of these coaches feel like their schools are way behind physically. And the point you heard, you know, I heard from several coaches was, you know, there's a difference between being like in cardio shape and being in football shape. And they worried about an additional injury risk and pointed to, hey, there's a bunch of injuries in week one in the NFL because they didn't have the proper run up to get ready. Well, then there was way more injuries that happened in week two of the NFL. So you have a bunch of coaches who I think are very concerned about that. You have some ADs on the other side of it who are maybe in locale that didn't have the same kind of challenges some other places had, who are like, hey, we need to start in October. And so it's created this little squabble inside the league. And, you know, who knows what the Pac-12 presidents are going to decide. It's really a mess.
Why am I not surprised, Bruce? When's the book come out? I know it's in October.
Yeah, the book should be out in mid-October, okay. So people can go to Amazon and just flip the script. And, you know, it's been an interesting time to have a book come out just with everything that's going on. But, you know, it was a fascinating project to work on.
Well, at least it's not about Washington, D.C., so I will definitely read it. Bruce, congratulations on the book. I know it's going to be huge. We appreciate your time, as always. Can't wait to talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
You got it. Nobody better than Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox. We will take a break. More to come on what's already been a busy 90 minutes. We will get to your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And great conversation with Bruce back on the program. And how about Nick in Tennessee? Hello, Nick.
Hey, brother. First time caller. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Yes. Previously in the show, I heard of a gentleman say that he didn't vote for Tennessee in the top 25.
Yeah, that was Pat Dooley.
They were two and five and won their last five games. It doesn't matter what conference you're in, with a great recruiting class. And I think they're well-deserved in the top 25. Four of those wins come in against ACC teams, two on the road. I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I think they definitely deserve to be in the top 25. You have to, I mean, especially without Pac-12 and the Big Ten being included. I think you'd be foolish not to include them. So, yeah, now it's just simply a matter of seeing what they do. They have a difficult task on Saturday, but if they're going to be a top 10, top 15, top 25 team, you better go to Williams-Brice and win. Agree? I thought you would. Hudson is up next. Hudson, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hudson, we are doing great. Thank you for the call.
No problem. Listen, I've been a big fan of your show, and I've seen what you've done the past few years. And but I was calling to ask you, the biggest probably, you said I'm watching your show, and I was watching it earlier, and you said the game that you're looking forward to is the Tennessee and South Carolina game. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's the most competitive game of the first weekend, and I think in many ways it's the most important because of what's at stake for both programs. I mean, we all know what Tennessee and Carolina have. Tennessee has to deal with Auburn and Alabama in addition to the East. South Carolina has, I think, Texas A&M and a couple of other ones. So it's a critical game.
Yeah, and, you know, Tennessee, I mean, I think they are well-deserved to be in the top 25. But, I mean, you look at Jeremy Pruitt and, you know, they finished the 2018 season 5-7, and, you know, and then they went 8-5 last year. And, you know, so they got kind of, you know, on a hot streak in the second half of the season. And, you know, their defense is going to be very, very good this year because they have Jeremy Pruitt, his defense, you know, you've seen that the recent teams that he's been a part of, the defense has been phenomenal. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that and Colin Hill and Mike Bobo, what they're bringing over from Colorado State.
Yeah, I think if Tennessee wins this game, you then start asking the question, where does South Carolina go for wins? And,
yeah,
you know, in Tennessee's case, it's not quite as critical, but if Tennessee fans are thinking big year, and when you start off 0-1, not to, you know, talk about the new reality of this year, but, you know, 10-game season really compresses things. And when you still have a couple of, when you still have what, three top five teams, top six teams remaining on your schedule, and you're 0-1 in Tennessee's case, you've got problems.
Yeah, and
by the way, they had four top 10 teams. I forgot about Auburn as well.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt, but you know, both teams, you know, they come into this game, you know, Mike Will Muschamp, you know, he's got some questions. And, you know, he's got some areas to improve as well. And, you know, so does Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. But you know, you look at Tennessee's defense and what they're bringing back as well. And they're bringing back, I think, safety Theo Jackson and linebacker Henry. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But you know, after, you know, from last year's matchup, you know, South Carolina, they put up points early against them. But, you know, Tennessee, they turned it around in the second half, and they carried that defensive, you know, momentum through the end of the year. And, you know, that's why I'm really looking forward to seeing if they can, you know, bring that momentum back into the game, you know, and see if they can shut South Carolina's offense out and see if they can, you know, finish well with good numbers.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, and I think you make some really good points there. Rich is next up in Louisiana. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Paul. First of all, I want to congratulate you on how well your show is doing. What you do for the SEC is nothing short of amazing.
Thank you.
I normally go to you for everything that relates to the SEC. Paul, I'm a realist. I'm a huge LSU fan, but I don't think they can win the SEC West this year. Alabama should win it. Anyway, Paul, what's your thoughts on the East? I think it's for Florida to lose. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I am. I think conventional wisdom would start to point toward Florida. I've always been a big Kirby fan, so I'm kind of holding on, although I'm getting nervous, I will tell you that. I'd like to know more about this quarterback situation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, but I still think just what happened last year with Florida, I just don't think that that it's going to be too big of an issue. I think they should win it.
Yeah, I mean, even though we talk about this stuff all the time, although we really didn't talk about it for a couple of months, I think we're about to see a season of unpredictability, and it's, you know, who can maintain their nerves and deal with adversity and figure out a way to win games. And it's you know, in the Florida-Georgia situation, it does come down to that one game, although they, you know, but Florida probably has a better chance of beating LSU than Georgia beating Alabama. So, I mean, if you're trying to figure out edges, so it really does come down to that game, as it always does. Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, I keep telling myself, let's try to figure out a different way to say certain things. But when you're leading into that first game of the year, you're having a hard time because there is so much unknown about this year. We will take a break. More of your phone calls, a lot of guests, including a conversation with an Ole Miss running back in the next hour. We're off and running here. Hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
Chuck, who is up next. Hey, Chuck.
Hello. How you doing, Paul?
Chuck, I am doing well.
Hey,
thank you.
I'm from Birmingham. I got married down there. Got one of those Sears Roebuck girls.
Sears Roebuck girl? What's that?
Pardon?
What's a Sears Roebuck girl?
That's one of them. If you don't like them, you can send them back.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I kept her for 74 years and 1 month.
Yeah,
I'd like to sing you a little ditty about You Are My Sunshine. The other dear night as I sleepin', I held, I dreamed you by my side.
Tell you what, Chuck,
but when my dear
75 years being married to that, I give that woman a lot of credit. John is up next. Hey, John, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to call. First off, and just say I'm a big fan of the show, and I
thank
love
you.
Everything you do for the SEC, so I just wanted to thank you for that. On the UGA side, obviously with Jamie Newman opting out just a couple weeks ago, Georgia's having to make some QB decisions. And I was wondering if you thought that would have a serious impact on the year as a whole. Obviously, they'll be stout on the defensive side of the ball. And I was also wondering if you think of any sneaky games that UGA might be facing outside of Alabama and Florida and maybe Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's good. I still am not a believer that it's good news when you're – proposed starting quarterback leaves a couple weeks before the season. And I know what everyone has said, and maybe he wasn't going to win the job, but he did have experience, and I think that's valuable or invaluable. In terms of sneaky games, I'm trying to think of, you got Auburn, Alabama, Florida. I'll tell you a game that I would keep my eye on is right there on the 24th of October, week after Alabama. I mean, it's an emotional game. You're coming out of the biggest game maybe in college football up to that point, and then regardless of what happens, you go to Lexington the next week. With Florida looming 2 weeks ahead, to me that is a really sneaky and dangerous spot.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, and thank you for everything that you said. Let's check in with Owen up next in Georgia. Owen, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
I'm a first-time caller, and I was curious about the University of Georgia team this year. I am totally in the dark. And I understand all the SEC teams losing all their players to the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. But But due to this year, with the strange year we're in, I haven't heard anything about our O-line, our D-line, our quarterback, our running back situations. I know we've upgraded our coaches again, and I'm proud of that, but I'm just looking for some inside
information. Yeah, let me quote one of our guests here from a couple of days ago, Mike Griffith, who covers the team. You know, and everyone knows what Georgia is replacing on the O line, but he said the defense might be as good as Georgia has had ever, or at least in modern time, or one of the best defenses that he has ever seen. So I think that will put some of your fears to rest. I
realize we had speed, but we can't seem to finish. That's what concerns me.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk to Mike later in the week, so hold on. And I think Georgia has an opener that is palatable. I think I know Arkansas fans are fired up, but if you had to pick a good place to start the season, I would think Fayetteville would be pretty high on Kirby Smart's list.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you getting me on.
Thank you. Yeah, I would encourage Owen not to be too concerned. Jordan is up next in Alabama, and you are on the air. Hello, Jordan.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there. Nice of you to call.
Alabama plays this Saturday, and I've been watching them practice, and they look like they've been doing good.
Well, Jordan, I think Alabama is going to do really well. Gavin, what about you? Hello? You're also in Alabama.
I was calling to ask, you know, I've noticed that there's been a lot of different teams that have had a lot of players opt out, but Alabama doesn't seem to really have anyone opting out. So, I mean, how do you think they'll really do this season compared to everyone else who's lost so many players?
Well, I mean, Alabama was probably the one team that could afford to lose a player or two, but I would, you know, when you consider the amount of players, LSU was in this spot as well, but the number of players that Alabama and LSU lose every year to early draft status, it's pretty remarkable. But that's why you recruit like these schools do. I think Alabama is primed. I think this is the best Alabama team Nick Saban has had in a while. I think the key is the defense. Can that defense improve from what we saw a year ago when they got gashed badly against LSU and Auburn? I mean, just, you know, really inexplicable breakdowns. And, you know, he's got two coordinators that have come back, which is unusual for Alabama because of all the opting out in that particular regard. So I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. I think it's Nick Saban doesn't want to hear this, but an easy start. Missouri is already a little bit short because of COVID, and you're playing Alabama. So it's a great game to let loose and knock the rust off and get ready for the more challenging games like Texas A&M and Georgia in the next few weeks. Heading to a break, 2 hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.